Try not to be late.
No, we were late.
I thought I didn't know this was here.
Okay. One of the Gemara, we're going to start from the Gemara. The Gemara talks about one of the things in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says one of the ways to lose a chiluk and adam haba is not to have a mula in tchias amesim. However, in tchias amesim in a Torah, someone that says the tchias amesim is not to be found in the Torah has no chiluk and adam haba. For our purposes, tchias amesim and adam haba are synonymous. Because tchias amesim is the gateway to adam haba.
Where do you know it from? Where in the Torah do you know it from?
It's all over. We're gonna have a blot of gemara like this.
Okay.
Tchias amesim is not just that we come back to live, and then we live in adam hazeh. And then Adam Haba is a different, totally separate world after that. Tchias HaMesim is what enables us to go to Adam Haba. It's like the doorway. We have to go through the doorway of the grave, come back, and then the process of Adam Haba starts. So the Mishnah says, Haimer, in Tchias HaMesim in HaTaira, someone that says Tchias HaMesim is not to be found in the Torah loses his chiluk to Adam Haba. Dr. Gemara, the Kokach Lama, all this why a guy should lose his chiluk to Adam Haba because he doesn't believe that Tchias HaMesim is in the Torah? It sounds extreme. The Kokach Lama, it's extreme. Tana, there's a Brisa. Who covered the Tchias HaMesim? He denied the validity of Tchias HaMesim. Lefikach la'yia lechelik b'Tchias HaMesim. Therefore he doesn't get a chelik in Tchias HaMesim. So the Gemara says that he loses his chelik in Tchias HaMesim. And the Mishnah says that he loses his chelik in Elam Haba. Because there's no way of going to Elam Haba without Tchias HaMesim. So if he loses his chelik in Tchias HaMesim, then there's no way he's going to get to Elam Haba. And it's midah keneged midah. We explained yesterday that his concept is much bigger than a simple punishment. And he's a bad guy, and he doesn't believe in Tchias HaMesim, so we're going to punish him and say, okay, you don't want it, you don't get it. We explained yesterday that the way, you know, takes three things to grow a tree. You need dirt, you need a seed, and you need water. You can have the dirt, you can have the seed. There's no water, it's not going to grow. So he said the dirt is the grave, the seed is the body, and the water is the emunah in Tchias HaMesim. If he doesn't believe in Tchias HaMesim, then there's no way for him to come back, because the catalyst, the thing that brings a person back, is the belief that he's going to come back. The belief in it makes it happen. Just briefly, you could just go a little bit more on that. Amplify. You could go a little bit more on that. In Parshas Hazina, Hashem is called Kel Emunah Ve'Nava. He's the God of Emunah. Kel Emunah Ve'Ein Avel, he's the God of Emunah. There's no crookedness, tzaddik, he's righteous, v'yasher. Who? He's straight. God is straight. It's called Kel Emunah, the God of Emunah. Chazal say on that pasuk, what does God of Emunah mean? Baal Pikadon. It's a Chazal. Baal Pikadon. He's the master of the Pikadon. Pikadon is a security deposit. When you give Hashem something to watch for you, The shamer is called a Baal Pikadon. The shamer is a Baal Pikadon. He watches it for you. You trust him. You trust him with the crown jewels. He's a Baal Pikadon. If he's negligent, or if he embezzles, he's betraying a trust. Embezzlement is a crime, because it's not just Geneva, it's worse. Embezzlement, you were entrusted with the people's money, and you betrayed a trust. So a Baal Pikadon is the opposite of an embezzler. He trusts me, I can't betray the trust. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch, I mean, Tzeis HaChashon, talks about getting money from somebody. Somebody owes you money. The guy owes you $100 and he's not paying you. And you go to Bezzy, you try everything, you can't get it from him. And you have proof that he owes you money. But he paid you already. You know? But he borrowed money from you. He wrote you out a shtar, he paid you back, and you still have the shtar. So you have proof he owes you money. Even though he paid you up already, but you got the thing. So he says, are you allowed to use the shtar against him to get the money that he really owes you? He owes you $100. You don't have proof he owes you $100 because you lent him, it was an oral agreement. But you have a proof from a previous loan that he borrowed from you, which is not valid because he paid that back already. Or you want to use it twice. I don't know. I'm not trying to use it. Some kind of shtick. Are you allowed to do that? Now, he really owes you money, and he's a gunner. So are you allowed to use an invalid proof against him to get your money? It says the question says you could. He's a gunner. He's a gunner. You're allowed to trick him to get the money back. That's called amis. But the Tzeis HaChashon says, what about another case? Similar case, same setup. One difference. Instead of a proof against him, an invalid proof against him, you're a shamer of his. You're watching something of his that's worth $100. He borrowed $100 from you. He owes you $100, and he doesn't want to pay you back. He's a liar. He's a gunner. And you have something of his that's $100. So could you hold on to it? Could you say it's yours? He's not paying you back. Could you lie and say it's yours? Say shtick. And he says, no, it's not. He says, well, you owe me $100. You know, you give me back $100, I'll give it to you. Say shtick like that. So he claims, he said, technically, I'll be a locker, you know. He owes you $100. He's a ganif. This is his thing. You should be able to keep it. But he says it's not worth it to do it. He quotes a Sefer Isaiah. Sefer Isaiah says, this is mama scary. Sefer Isaiah says, every single day we wake up in the morning and we do things that make us chayiv misa to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're chayiv to him. We do things every day, we do things with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so don't cut us and say, this guy doesn't deserve to be here anymore. Chances are that sometime during the day we're going to do that. And then the night time comes, and we say Kriya Shema. You know the pasuk we say Kriya Shema. We say Biyadcha Afkid Ruchi Kadish Roshi Hashem Kel Emes. Biyadcha, in your hands, God, Afkid Ruchi, I'm going to take my ruach, my neshama, and it's going to be like a pikadon. A pikadon is a watched object. And God, I'm going to sleep, I'm making you into a shamer. Hadisa Hashi, you redeem me, Hashem Kel Emes. You're honest, true. That means every night, you tell God, I'm going to sleep. It's a very dangerous place to be. Because your neshama is no longer has the same relationship with the body. But I trust God that I'm entrusting my soul to you. I'm giving it over to you, God. I don't believe it's just some sleep is just some psychological phenomena. I believe in God. I'm giving it to him. And I trust that God's going to give it back to me. We say it in Maidim. We say it in Maidim in Shranase, Achayenu. Hamasurim biyadecha. Our life is given over to Yehudah. Halishmasenu. What's the next words? Hapikuta islach. To give it over to Hashem as a pikadon. The Sefer Azariah says, that is why we wake up in the morning. We wake up in the morning because the Kadosh Baruch Hu has a midah. He can't betray a trust. He can't betray a trust. He says, you trust me? Even if you don't deserve it. Even though you're chayiv to me. What are you chayiv to me, your life. You chayiv misa, chas v'shalom. So Hashem should keep the neshama. But you give it, you know, give it over to me. And I'm a shamer on it. Hashem says he's a shamer on it. So Hashem cannot, he does not betray a trust. He gives it back. So there's two ways to come back alive. One is to deserve to come back alive. Some people deserve to come back alive. But people that don't deserve to come back alive, they better say Kriya Shema. Nekuda. Point. The Seisachayshin says that you can rightfully hold on to this object that's worth $100. Hold on to it. He owes you money, he's a ganav. But he trusted you. When he gave it to you, he didn't think that you were going to pull the shtick with him. He never would have given it to you. He gave it to you because I trust you, you're not going to betray a trust. You're honest. You're going to give it back to me no matter what happens between us. He said, you stop betraying trust? So cut his block, and next time you go to sleep, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, this guy doesn't really deserve to live. Elamai, even though he doesn't deserve to live, but he's trusting me with his neshama. Yeah, but he doesn't care about trust. He said, says, I'll be the Zayar guy's putting his life in danger by betraying the trust. So he shouldn't do it. The Mela, now we can understand what it means. The Moon and Chiyas HaMeisim is what brings Chiyas HaMeisim. It's not just a nice thing. The Hashem says, oh, you believed in me, then I'm going to reward you. The Moon and Chiyas HaMeisim, bring Chiyas HaMeisim, because Hashem says these people, their whole life, they believed that I'm going to bring them back to life. And they said it, Abar Mechayim Meisim, and Damat Alach is Meisim, and Ani Mamin B'mun Hashem B'tchiyas HaMeisim, and Hashem says, you know, and then when they die, they say, okay, I'm going to die, but I believe in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to bring you back to life. Hashem said, they trust me. Baal Pikadin, Kelamun of Einavel, Tzadik B'yashu, I'm going to bring you back to life. But if someone doesn't believe in Chiyas HaMeisim, if he doesn't believe in Chiyas HaMeisim, so Hashem said, why should I bring it back to life? What for? I mean, if he lived his life in a way that he doesn't deserve to die, so he won't die. But he didn't live that way. Nobody does. So he died. That's it. You know, it's like in the video games. You put a quarter in and get 3 balls on the pinball machine. You use all 3 balls. So if you get a high score, you get another 3 balls. You don't. Put in another quarter. Game over. The Gemara says, so come me days and shall come back and meet the connected leader. Hashem does meet the connected leader. The Yom Rav Shmo ben Achmeni Yom Rav Yenisan, Minayin shall come me days and shall come back and meet the connected leader. Shnema. Vayem Elisha. There was a time, there was a big famine. This is by the Asenus Shvatim, the 10 tribes. Elisha was the Navi by the 10 tribes, and they were starving, and they were besieged, and the price of wheat was like skyrocketed. It was out of control. Vayim Elisha. Elisha comes to the city. He says, Shema Dvar Hashem, listen to the word of God. Kales Machar, tomorrow, at this time. So, oh, Silas, so is a measure of fine flour. B'shekel. B'shekel is very cheap. It's a cheap price. So Sayim Sayim and double the amount of barley for shekel. That's twice as cheap. Barley is cheaper than, you know, we learned this in the Gemara Brachas. barley flour, you know, the Gemara is a haver, meaning you make a bracha on wheat flour, but on barley flour, it's a haver, meaning you don't make a bracha at all. Not even shakel. It's cheap. And the man is cheap. Bishar Shemrin. Bishar is the commodities exchange. The shower is the, you know, the gate. And they laughed at him. Tomorrow it's going to be cheap. Do you have a shekel? Do you have any idea how much somebody would pay for wheat? What wheat? There, you go find some wheat. You can't even find wheat. They were starving. They were eating their horses. There was no wheat. And there was no way to get wheat. You go outside of the walls. What happens? You get an arrow on your head. You can't walk outside of the walls. To a guy, you're all around. Surrounded. Look, see? Mayana Shalish. The Shalish is like a guard. Asher Nishan al Yadai. They relied on him. The Sishrael came. He answered the man of God. Mayaman, he said, Hinei Hashem Isa. Behold, if Hashem would make Arubas B'Shamayim, skylights in heaven. Hayia Dabra Azeh? Could this thing possibly be? He mocked him. He said, if God would make windows in the sky, by tomorrow it's not going to be so cheap. He said, "When you know, like saying, when hair grows on the palm of my hand, it's going to be like that. Windows in the sky? Oh, well, that's a good question. Hashem should make windows in the sky. Windows in the sky? It can't be. It can't be. He mocked the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Vayemer, and Elisha said to him, Hinach Raya Be'enecha, you're going to see it with your eyes. You are going to see the price drop, plummet. You are going to see it, Misham Laitecha, but you're not going to eat it. That's the ultimate punishment. Yes, that's the worst punishment. To see it, he's going to see the price being that cheap, but he won't. He won't be able to benefit from it. Oh yeah, he'll die. He will die. He'll get dead. But he can. It was so. But he was so. He's on Bashar. The nation trampled this guard at the gate. But he almost nearly died. And I'll just fill in a little bit of historical background here. The city was surrounded. There was no way to get in or out. They were starving. It was hopeless. They gave up hope. There were four Mitzrayim, there were four lepers. One of them was Gehazi. Gehazi was Elisha's former assistant because he used Elisha's name to rip off the Syrian general Naaman. He was cursed with leprosy. A leper has to stay outside of the city. So Gehazi and his three friends are outside the city. So when there's a famine, they weren't there when the city was circled. I don't know if that was lucky or not lucky. They weren't there in the city when the city was circled by the guard. They were outside of the city. So they're wandering around. It seems like it was even worse in the city because the city, they had a little bit of food. But when you're outside the city, you have zero food. It seems like there might have been some kind of system that the people in the city would send out some food to the lepers outside. They must have had like some kind of gemach, a crescent society. But with the city surrounded, there's dying of starvation. So they were worse. So they decided, we can't get into the city. We're going to die. We're lepers. We're dead. There's a lot of food by the, you know, the army of Canaanim that's surrounding the city. They've got food. They said, go there, we'll get food from them. We'll beg them. They said, if we go there, they're going to kill us. So the leper said, well, if we don't, we're going to die. Maybe they won't kill us. Maybe, you know, we're lepers, you know. Maybe lepers they won't kill. Maybe they'll throw us some bread. Let's go. In the meantime, a Kaddish Baruch Hu made a nest. And the camp wasn't even there. The Goyim, they woke up one day and they hear a tremendous army, the sound of a tremendous army running after them. There was no army, there was no physical army running after them. The people were in the city. There's a tremendous army. The guy even hear this. They run for the hills. They leave everything. They leave the steak on the grill. There's like a tremendous army camp. Not a single soldier there. And the only people that know about it are the lepers. And the people in the city, they're eating horses because they don't know that the army left. They think it's a trick. So they're going to die of starvation for no reason. The lepers, they come, they grab everything, they stuff their pockets, you know, hey. And then one of them thinks, you know, it's really not fair to people in the city. They're dying. So they go to the city, they tell the people in the city, the Goyim are gone. People in the city said, no, it's a trick. They said, what do you got to lose? They send out some horses, the few horses that weren't eaten yet. They send them out, they figure it's worth a chance. They check it out, they see the Goyim are gone. And then the people are starving, they start running from the gates. And this guy is at the gates. He probably was educated in some public school in Oxford or Britain, because it's not proper decorum that everyone should just rush out of the city. You know, they're starving. So he tries to stop them.
Oh, my God.
The food is like running in. Nobody is buying any wheat at the inflated prices, because why should they buy wheat at inflated prices when they can get free food outside the city? So, you know, the markets just drop, and then he gets trampled. That's his story.
Nice.
So Gemara is a kasha. So Gemara says, you know why this guy died? Because he said Hashem can't do such a thing, so he died. Okay. So Gemara says, would Dilma kill us, Elisha Garmalai? Maybe Elisha's curses were caused it. Who says this has to do with disbelief? We're trying to make a point here. You don't believe in something, you don't get it. You believe in it, you get it. The people believed Elisha when he said it, so they got it. The guard didn't believe it, so he didn't get it. The Gemara says, Who says? When Elisha curses a guy, he's dead. He's dead. We mamash hear this. We hear this by Bar Kappara. You see the Mchach Mankan, Zik Mankan, even in the Gemara? He got dead, right? They died. The two guys died. The Amar of Yudah Marav, Rav Yudah says in the name of Rav, kill us Chacham, if a Chacham curses someone out, afilu achinam iba. It comes even if the Chacham doesn't mean it. It just, you know, once a Chacham curses someone, it comes. So maybe he died because of the curse. So Mar says, him can't lick them krav, ayimesu vayamas. The Pasuk should say they trampled him and he died. My Bashar, why did he have to say the gate? What importance is it to us that we hear the word gate? Alish Bashar, you see it's because of the gate. Since Gemara is a Pella, we'll stop over here. Okay. The Gemara is a Pella. Now we're going to talk. Say it? You got the Gemara? Where's the power? We're comparing Tchias HaMesim to the Chutz of Vikar, the gatekeeper. I'll give you an even bigger power. I don't know if you noticed this, but if you think about it, it's going to bother you too. You heard the expression, Mida connected Mida? In what context do we all do it?
I ain't talking about it.
No, that's a personal. Mida connected Mida is the guy. Hashem does a chesed with someone. When Hashem punishes someone, there's a chesed there. There's a chesed. Hashem doesn't want to punish a person. Hashem will try and avoid it. When it finally comes to it, Hashem will do it so that the guy should do tshuva. So the purpose of a punishment is that the guy should do tshuva. How is the guy supposed to know what to do tshuva? He does so many things wrong. How's he supposed to know what it is? Do tshuva. What? Do tshuva. So Hashem tailors the punishment to match the crime. You know, a guy slips and bangs his head on the floor. A guy gets his hand stuck in the door. A guy has a headache. A guy gets tackled. A guy gets sick. He gets a sore throat. An earache. These are simple, obvious examples. If somebody gets an earache, a Jew has to react that if I got an earache, so then there's something good. It's good that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was localizing the pain, and then there's something that I did with my ear that I shouldn't have done, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is talking to me, and he's telling me something, and it's a chesed. And I should examine my past deeds. What did I use my ear for? Neither can I get neither. Measure for measure. He punishes to fit the crime. Neither can I get neither. Punishes to fit the crime. I told you that story about the guy that ripped Korea.
Yeah.
What's the story?
Twice.
What?
What story?
When the group flight arrived, so the yeshiva goes to the old city, you know, I'll go. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy that he wasn't going to rip Korea. He said, I don't tear my clothes. He didn't relate to ripping Korea. He related to contemplating his navel. But he didn't relate to Korea. So walking in the old city and he trips. And he rips his pants open and his knee. On the way to rip, while he was, you know, he was determined not to rip Korea. So you think he became about true, but no, not so fast. He got up and he said, nah, couldn't be. He did not rip Korea. He said the next day he was walking in town and he trips and falls on the same exact spot. It ripped even more. And the wound got banged up again. By the second time he realized that he should stop this. Meter connected meter. And that's what it means. Now, if that's true, what is this? What shakas does this have with our Gemara? The guy is paid for Tchias HaMeisim. He doesn't believe in Tchias HaMeisim. He doesn't get Tchias HaMeisim. It says Meter. What's the Lashon HaGemara? Meter connected meter. It's Meter connected meter. The punishment fits the crime. What? And when he doesn't come back to life, and he stays dead? So you should know, you know why he stayed dead? Because he didn't believe in it. It doesn't fit. He's dead already. It doesn't fit. Does it fit? It doesn't fit.
What? What do you mean? Because he's not able to do tshuva now? Is that the point?
Kedavim milchana. But don't ever do that again. I'm except to skiing. Kedavim immediately.
There is a point that you can't do.
Don't say Ashrei. Go straight to Shmoneh Esrei.
But the point is that he can't do tshuva because he's dead already? Is that the
point? Yeah, you're like, what's the point? Mita kedavim mita sounds like a chesed. That's the punishment fits the crime, so that you should know what he's getting it for. And also, it's nothing. It's a punishment. A guy not coming back to life, that's not a punishment. That's not a punishment. That's the end, yeah. That's not a punishment. That's not a punishment. Never to come back? That's not a punishment. Oh, it doesn't, you know, a guy that doesn't believe in Tchias HaMeisim, like we explained, he doesn't believe in Tchias HaMeisim, so he doesn't have a lifeline. We explained it, not believing, it's not a punishment at all. Hashem says, how am I supposed to bring you back to life? You don't believe in Tchias HaMeisim. Believing in something is the pipeline. Is the pipeline. If a guy, I always use this example, if a guy's a deep sea diver, and he goes down in a scuba suit with an oxygen line to the ship that he's going off from, and he takes a knife and he cuts the thing and dies, it's not a punishment. That's reality. A guy slits his wrists, God for shalom, dies, it's not a punishment. That's reality. And the Gemara is talking about reality, saying he denied Tchias HaMeisim, he's not going to get Tchias HaMeisim. It's talking about it in terms of punishment. No, it's not me to connect. I mean, it's it. It's not the punishment fits the crime. It is. It is. It is. Moshe Shapiro explained this. He said a Kiddush. He said a Kiddush. And the Kiddush answers this question. I mean, it's really not a question, it's just we're begging you to explain it. Yeah. It answers this question.
Well, I just realized.
What?
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. I was supposed to be in the pod now, but I forgot.
It answers this question. And it also gives a beautiful, beautiful understanding in the Maisa with the Shemer, with the God, with the Shalosh. Let me start with an example. Guys, this is like This also blew my mind. We actually talked about this. It blew my mind. There's a Gemara in Chinese about a Heilig Yid named Chanina ben Daisa. Chanina ben Daisa was an Araman. He was an impoverished individual. He had nothing. He had no food. He had no food for Shabbos. The Gemara talks about Nisim with the Chanina ben Daisa, that the neighborhood ladies, they were gossiping, hey, they don't have any food, she's not making anything for Shabbos. And they asked Chanina ben Daisa, what are you making for Shabbos? She said, oh, I'm making, you know, she's making kugel and chicken. And she stoked up the fire, and the neighbors all at sea. And then, you know, she opened up the oven, and in the oven was a whole Shabbos meal. He put in vinegar in the lantern to burn, and instead of the vinegar burning, instead of it burnt, you know. And the Chanina ben Daisa said, you know, the same God that says that oil should burn, the vinegar could also burn. He lived on a totally different level. He did Kriyas Yamsuf. He was able to split things. He was a Yachid and Miyuchid. He was the only one in his generation. And the Gemara says, Kol Olam Kulei. The entire world Nizai gets his mezainus Avor Chanina b'Nei due to Chanina ben Daisa. The entire world, when he was alive, the entire world got its mezainus, which means the parnasa of the entire world. Anybody that earned a living, they were able to make a living and put food on the table, it was b'schus from Chanina ben Daisa. And in Chanina ben Daisa, what did he eat? From one Erev Shabbos to the next, he subsisted on one measure of carob. Yes, there is a parallel to Shem Bayichai. Shem Bayichai also subsisted on carob in the Mara with the Chai. Carob is a food for people that don't eat. There's a parallel between the Chanina ben Daisa and Shem Bayichai. What does this Gemara mean? What does it mean that we got the schus him, and what does it mean that he himself had carob? Let's point out it's being ironic. Sounds like it's being ironic. Shem Bayichai. When he hid out from the Romans in the Ma'ara, in the cave, he had a carob tree sprouted and he ate the carob. Carob trees figure prominently in Talmudic literature.
Love on game.
We have a carob tree by Yechonia Mago. He saw somebody planting a carob tree. It takes 70 years till the fruits come out. So he said, who are you planting it for? He said, even if I don't see it, my children will see it, my grandchildren will see it. Yechonia Mago went to sleep. He woke up 70 years later. It was a carob tree. Carob tree is a bizarre.
Was there a carob tree by Yona?
No, not carob.
Corona or something?
It also grew up very quickly. That was like a leafy tree. It was
for shade.
Was that kikaron or something?
Kikayo. That was kick oil. It's like the kick bean. The bean called kick. There's the oil. Being ironic, we're saying he's such a tzaddik, the entire world gets from him and he doesn't even get from his own tzaddikus. What irony. The Gemaras are not ironic. They're not. They're not sarcastic. They're not ironic. They're real. Remember your Maisha said of Yisrael. This Yisrael is dealt with at length in the Sefer Shirei Das. You read the Gemara about the Talmud of Yehuda Nasi? He had no panasa. So he went to a valley, he davened to Hashem, and a golden leg appears. Takes the golden leg, brings it home, tells his wife, it's all over. We're going to eat good this Shabbos. She said, I'm not taking it. He said, God gave it to me. She said, I'm not taking it. She said, I don't want, you know, everyone else in Olam Haba, they're going to have a table with three legs, and we're going to have one with two legs. I think it's first thing I'm on. So she brings him to the entire Tribute on Nasi. And Tribute on Nasi says, I possibly should take it. She said, I don't want to be missing a leg from my table. He said, if anything's missing from your table, I'm going to give you from my table. She said, no. She said, tell me, Rabbi Nasi, are we going to see each other there? Because the Gemara says that each and every person has its own chuppah, and they can't give things from one to the next. Rabbi Nasi says, no. She said, then I don't want it. The Chassid goes back to the valley, he davens Hashem, and he comes out, takes the table back, right back. And the Gemara says that the second nation is bigger than the first nation, because with God, God gives. Everything is one directional. You know, when somebody's coming from America to here, when someone comes from America to here, your parents send you things. When somebody goes back, you don't send your parents things. God gives. God doesn't take back. But it was a nace. God took back. So, Rabbi Yisrael Blei Block in the Sefer Shir Hadas, he says, you know, what's she worried about? They're going to be missing a table. Like, Olam Haba is gold. Olam Haba is real gold. Olam Haba is schar. And you miss one table like this, because you're going to be missing so much. You're going to be missing so much. You have so much. The guy was a tzaddik. He said, Olam, his whole life was a tzaddik. He's a chassid. He's a talmid rabbi on nasi. He has so much schar. How much do you lose from your schar? The value of one piece of golden table, the golden table, it's worth $1,000, $100,000. How much do you detract from schar and Habib because they got $100,000? This is a physical amount of money. So you lose this little. How much? You know, what are you talking about? She makes such a big deal that the table is going to be missing. There's tables there. That's what it is. There's tables. And Hashem broke off a leg from the golden table, and Hashem brought it down over here, and she's worried that the table is going to be missing. Like, what's going on over there? So Yosef Leibloch says, yes, this table's there. And it's a long schmooze. We don't have, it's a long schmooze. He says that there's physical tables and there's spiritual tables. Now, we don't know what a spiritual table is. But whatever it is, it's something which the physical table is like a muscle. And we won't understand the muscle till we get there. We won't understand it. There's a muscle and there's a nimshal. The Shalah says that everything in this world is a muscle. Gehenna is not like fire. Fire is like Gehenna. See how, you know. We don't know what fire is. When we find, we should never find out what fire is.
This world is a muscle?
Yes. We call fire fire because there's something in common with Gehenna. Gehenna is the real fire. We call a table because it has something in common with the table of Olam Haba. The Beit HaBechai says that the word table is shulchan. The sharish of the word shulchan is shaleach. To send. All the blessing that we get in this world is sent from the table. You work hard, you buy the food, your wife makes it, she puts it where? On the table. And where does it come to you from? From the table. So in Olam Haba, they don't have a physical knock table, but there's some creation which, through this creation, all the blessing that we're going to get in Olam Haba is going to reach us. It's not a physical table, it's much better than a physical table. Physical table is a limit on which you can hold. A physical table, you know, can only hold physical things. And he says that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu took the leg of the table and brought it to this world, there's a rule. Anything that enters this world has to change and assume a physical form. For example, the Malachim, the visitor of Ramavina, they looked like people, and they were people. Malachim could be seen. Anything that comes in this world has to change. There's a law. Has to go like that. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. When in the world, do as the worldlings do. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the vehicle that the blessing was going to reach them in Olam Haba. Hashem took part of the vehicle, brought it into this world, and it assumed the most precious thing in this world. And by default, that's gold. So she's going to use that and spend the money. Then the schar lenetzach, the eternal schar that's destined to reach them, is going to be missing a conduit. It's going to be missing a way of reaching them. It's going to be missing. She's not willing to do that. And the Yehuda HaNasi can't replace it. And put it back. The Maisha says that you say, Pesach is Yadecha Masbiya L'chol Chayratzai. God opens up his hand, he gives us his will. So what do we eat? We eat God's will. It's a pasuk. It's a pasukim. Lo yalechem levad yichya adam. Man does not live on bread alone. Ki amaitz be Hashem, on what comes out of the mouth of God. That means we don't live on bread. We live on what comes out of the mouth of God. That means that God says, and the words that God says, we eat. Got that? When God says that creates physical, that doesn't, that's not a physical thing. God speaks, that's spiritual. God says the word lechem. God expresses lamed ches mem. It's a simple process. God says the word lechem. Yeah? That's, when God says the word lechem, that creation that comes out of God's expression is limitless sustenance. Forever. There's no limits. Then God sends the word lechem into this world. Has to some of this before. So it becomes a wheat seed which grows and is ground and is bread. And when we eat that, it's finite, it has limits. But the thing about it that keeps us alive is because its origin was from the original word lechem that God said. Got it? So it gets, you know. When the Jews were in the desert and they ate man, they were eating something which was closer to the word of God. You can understand that also, you know. What they were eating was closer. That was closer to their root. And that's why they didn't have to go to the bathroom. There wasn't all these physical things, and there was no waste. And that made them wise, that they were able to understand the Torah for 40 years. It was wise bread. Wonder bread. Because that was closer to the root. That didn't have such a physical. Why? Because that didn't come down into the world. That came into the cloud. You understand? Something that comes into the world has to be a physical. But something that comes into the cloud of people that they had to some amazing by Sinai. So that's not exactly coming into this world. It's a little bit coming into this world. You understand all the parallels? So now here's the nail. We're nailing this down. So Chanina ben Daisa deserves to have a good living. He deserves to make a good living. I would think he deserves to make a good living. Because Mark was sent down for him. I'm going to send down. He's a tzaddik. He's the biggest tzaddik in the world. So he deserves to have how much? An equal amount to feed the whole world. That's what he deserves. Whether you can eat it or not eat it, that's up to him. You can share it if you want. But he deserves an equal amount of panas with the whole world, because he is the tzaddik of the world. So Shem says, okay, we're going to say the word lechem, okay? I don't know how it works, but am I limited on it? We're going to say the word lechem in the whole world. Lechem lechol ha'olam kulay. Bishvil chanina. My son chanina. So Chanina outsmarted the Rabbi Hashem. He says, I don't want it.
Right.
I don't want it. I don't want to live in Olam Hazeh. I want to live, you know. I don't want it. I'm not taking it. So he takes carob. He eats. But he takes carob. He knows carob is the thing that keeps you alive, even though it's very cheap. But it has all the nutrients. And it's carob. So where does the rest of it go? Goes the entire world. So he's nizayin with kavcha ruben, which means he didn't take the spirit. And this is limitless. It's in Shemayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu used it for the mezuzahs of the entire world. When he was alive, even people that didn't deserve to get food got food. They got it. So you see that there's two standards. There's the world in Shemayim, that there's no limits, and one person's chus could feed the whole world. One person's chus could feed the whole world. If Hashem would have sent it down in a physical form, it wouldn't have been able to feed the whole world. It would have fed Chanina. Maybe he could feed himself, his neighbors. Wouldn't have fed the whole world. But since it stayed up there, so then that could feed the whole world, because in Shemayim it's limitless. Moshe Shapiro says that when the Gemara says that someone that believes in Tzkiyas HaMeisim gets Tzkiyas HaMeisim, and someone that doesn't, And to me, the connected midah, he said, it doesn't mean the same thing as all shas. It doesn't because it can't. Because he said the same word means two, the same words means two different things in different places. All over shas midah and midah means Hashem does a chesed, and he punishes a person in the same vein as the crime, so the guy should know what he did wrong. Over here, he called it a lashon mushal. It's a borrowed term. It doesn't mean the same over here. So the word midah means measurement. Over here it means something totally different. He says, let's say there's in the depression, there's soup kitchens. And they're giving out soup. And you've got a family, you've got 10 kids to feed, kanaina hara, the darlings. And you go into the soup kitchen, and you get soup for your 10 kids. And you bring your little pot. And you say, I've got 12 people to feed, me, my husband, my 12 kids. They start pouring in soup. Pour more. It's only enough to feed 1.5 people, 2 people. Pour more. Pour more. They say it's going to go over. We can't. You want it to feed your 10 kids? So bring us a pot. You can have food. We'll give it to you. We have endless amounts of soup. We make so much soup. We have endless amounts of soup. We'll give it to you. Bring a pot for 12 people. No, I can't. I'm not a rich person. A pot for 12 people? I don't believe in pots for 12 people. They don't make pots that big. They don't exist. I've never seen it in my life. In my neighborhood, they don't have it. I think maybe you have to import it from China. And I can import it. This is what I have. Give me soup for 12 people in this pot. They say, lady, we can't give you more than you yourself feel you can handle. These are your kelim. This is your midah. Midah means a measurement. You bring a midah of a pot for 2 people, we'll give you soup for 2 people. Go back home, bring a pot for 12 people, we'll give you 12 people. Midah and midah. There's 2 kinds of people in this world. There's the people that think the man could live forever. There's no limits how long he could live. Man could get endless scar. Man could have an endless relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's no limits. We can go on forever. Man is tremendous. He's huge. There's no limit to what he can accomplish. So he has a big pot. So Hashem has endless amount of life. I give it to you. It's all yours. You got a big pot. So Hashem keeps pouring. Then you have people that they don't believe in Tchilas HaNes. We live till 80, 70, 80, 90, becoming a bunch of old monkeys. Then we die in the tent. Hashem says, your pot is it only fits 70 years. You don't get Tchilas HaNes. This is your pot. It's going to blow. It's going to burst. What happens when you try and shove in? You've got a sack of beans, and you try and shove in more beans and more beans and more beans and more beans. What happens to the sack? It plotzes. See, that's what the Gemara means when it says midah connected midah. It doesn't mean the same thing as it means that the punishment fits the crime. It has a totally different meaning. It's the same words for a different concept. I mean, it's a chiddush, but my Rebbe said it. It's a chiddush. He said, that's why the Shemir died. He said, you think the Shemir died because he sits on a chutzah, Hashem says, I'm going to kill him. No. The Shemir was one of these people. He says, even Hashem opens up windows in the heavens. You asked me about that muscle. He said, Hashem can't do it. You know why? Because I don't believe in something I don't see. The Shemir said this. And if the price now is 100 shekel for wheat, for tomorrow, for to go down to 1 shekel, I don't see it. And if I don't see it, it doesn't exist. That's Greek philosophy.
He destined himself to his own thing.
That's right. Because he made his pot very small. That's why he uses this lashon. The windows open up in heaven, it's not going to happen. You know why? Because I only have a pot for 100 shekel for Saweed. I don't have a pot. What's it called? And at that time, what happened? This whole thing with the army and the lepers, that was a nace. That there was a tremendous outpouring chesed of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to the world above nature. The whole thing was above nature. That instantaneously the needs of the entire kingdom were, the gates of heaven were open all at once. So there was a tremendous outpouring. It's called Shefa. Outpouring of limitless bracha. And the people that believed in Elisha, who believed in Elisha?
Everyone.
Elisha says so, anything is possible. So then pots were big. So they had big pots with big wheat, and it fit. But the Shemir, his pot was very small. And when a tremendous force, limitless force, comes down from Shemayim, and there's people that they have pea brains, you know, they have the brain the size of a pea, and it comes out at the same time, it's a very, very dangerous thing to be around when that happens. You can use this, you say, in a lot of other places, a lot of deaths, and they died.
Even though the shepherd came to a physical form?
Yes, but it was the spiritual form was causing it, and it destroyed him. It destroyed him to be around at a time. It destroyed him. He just plotzed. The Yamasuhu, the Yamas. It's like, you know, it's a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen. And Elisha knew what was going to happen because Elisha told him, you are talking Nadishkeit. There's nothing that God can't do. Okay, that's today's mark.
So what did the curse do?
Give me your ha'aris on how you want the format of this to be. Let me know, you know. Is this okay?
Yeah,
it was enough Gemara, it was enough schmoozing.
Yeah,
okay.
A little piece a day, you know. We make it at least halfway through.
Oh, we could do more. I stopped, not because I would have gone further with some new Indians. The next time is going to go quick. So here, this goes quick.
As long as you get the understanding.
What is that, right?
It's good.
Why didn't it was fast enough for you?
Yeah. Let's call it.
I don't know. Okay, Ryan.
What's it called?
Now, let me see
what happened to the curse, though. There was a curse. What did the curse time. Do?
Go back.
You say it's not a curse that killed him.
He didn't need the curse. He died anyway.
The curse must have had some effect. What about his Om Habad? What about his
title?
That's not
no
good.
No. I don't think that's what we're not.
Because the Rai's being alive from here, he didn't have some amazing. This guy doesn't believe in Skias amazing.
He didn't believe in this.
He doesn't believe in limitless.
Really?
He believes in a man that says he plays self-imposed limits on himself.
Okay, hold on.
Kalbakaimer. If God can't feed a whole city, Kalbakaimer, he doesn't believe in Skias
amazing.
He has no one's Kalbakaimer.
Really?
Oh, wow. Well, being a few from here. There's no Kalbakaimer. Okay. Yeah.
You say that there's Tchias Amesim
531?
1731. So how do they sin by the ego if they're already in Olam Haba? You're saying they're already in Olam Haba. How could they have sinned?
The answer to your question is that the Tchias Amesim was such a Tchias Amesim design that only good people like that could have sinned.
They were in Olam Haba already, right?
No, then they're Tchias Amesim.
Tchias Amesim is a step right from Olam Haba.
Yeah, but this one wasn't.
Except for Wednesday.
It could have been.
I'm recording it on Wednesday.
It could have been.
If they had to do what?
If they didn't do the Tchias Amesim,
I was going to ask if I could record
it. Would have been. But they stopped it in the process.
I'll be here every day.
Well,
Trevor, not going to be here. Give me
I'm going to be here. I'm not going to be here every Wednesday, except today, because I totally, completely, like, I woke up in the middle of Rabbi Langston's chair, and I was just so out of it, and I was like, whoa, and I, like, came and sat down here. And at one, by the way, the only reason I realized that the vibe was going on now is because I was like, why is the base so empty? There were so many people that said they wanted to go to this year. Where are they?
Not really.